also gut. Die Kleinen können mal wieder nicht einschlafen, dann dürfen sie eben zu dir. Schließlich hast du das viel gemütlichere Bett und außerdem ein Amazon Echo. Auf dem lässt du Alexa die Gute-Nacht-Playlist starten und sagst:
Alexa, stell den Einschlaftimer auf 5 Minuten.
Okay, ich stoppe die Wiedergabe in 5 Minuten.
Und nach 5 Minuten ist Ruhe. Und während du die Kleinen zudeckst, sagst du:
Alexa, Licht aus.
Okay.
Kompatibles Smart-Home-Gerät erforderlich.
Don't try to run, don't try to hide. You're stealing your time without thinking twice. Stop the party, hide your shit. Believe this is the hell tonight. Whoa!
And we go!
What's up, fool?
What's up?
Whoa!
And we
go! What's up, fool?
What's up, fool? Podcast. What's up, fool? What have you lost?
Rodrigo Torres.
What have you lost?
Rodrigo Torres right here, man. We just got back from Boston. We were in Massachusetts.
Springfield, Massachusetts.
New England. Little Italy. Massachusetts. MGM Casino. By the way, that MGM Casino is beautiful.
Pristine.
A lot of homeless people outside. Reno with good buildings.
Tough but a nudge.
But besides all that, man, Rodrigo showed up like he got attacked by 5 ninjas. Like, he was, man, his back was messed up, man. He was walking like he needed a V8.
To the side? Mine, that's sciatic nerve, mine. That's what it was. Mine.
We also have Lisa here.
Hello.
Chilling right here with her Bears sweater.
No, it's not a Bears sweater.
Keep it from Chicago.
What's up, fool?
What's up, dog?
What up, dog?
Let's give a shout out first to Be Real Studios.
Shout out to Be Real TV Studios
letting us use their
for
space.
Letting us be here. East Zone, We Don't Smoke the Same. His album just came out, right?
The new Cypress Hill record just
came
out.
East Zone has an album?
East Zone has an album.
I didn't know
really?
That.
They dropped a single.
A single, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But Be Real, the album.
Cypress Hill has an album.
A new one.
Yeah, Elephants on Acid.
Yeah, can't
last
wait.
Week.
You excited?
Yeah, I already listened to it. I already got 2 favorite tracks.
Come out Friday, right? Friday? Eric?
Eric Bobo right here.
I didn't know. I didn't know it was on. I'm right here. Yeah, Friday. It came out on Friday. Elephants on Acid. What's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
Please, a round of applause for our
Eric
guest.
Bobo.
Yeah, man.
We ran into them one time. We travel.
Sacramento.
We ran into a lot of people. And sometimes we recognize them because they're not always in character. We just recognized people and we stalked them. Like, we saw John McCain, the late John McCain.
That was at LAX.
He was walking around by himself. No bodyguard, just himself.
No aides, nothing.
And I walked up to him and said, "What's up, Mr. John McCain?" Selfie time. And we took a photo and I put it up. And everybody thought I joined the GOP.
The grand old party.
I lost fans, bro. You lost a fan. Fuck you.
That's fucked.
I got a lot of those. Fuck you.
It's just a picture, Doc.
That's why, man. That's why.
Not an endorsement.
I posted a story because I knew the Patriots were going to beat the shit out of the Miami Dolphins this week, and they did.
Easy.
So we're in New England, and I saw the New England Patriots hats, and in honor of Keith Manning, get off the field. I put on the New England Patriots hat, but I try to be funny, and I crossed out my face, you know, just the eyeballs, and also crossed out my mouth. But somebody was trying to hate me, you traitor. I thought you were a Raiders fan. I am a real Raiders fan. I root when they win, which is never. So I'm still rooting. You know, I still haven't sold my tickets, even though I still want to sell them. I got 4 tickets for San Francisco 49ers versus the Oakland Raiders in Levity Field, whatever it's called.
Battle of the Bay, bro.
Battle of the Bay, bro. And that's going to be on Thursday night. And if you want to watch that game for free, join Amazon for 7 days, watch that game, and then fucking drop Amazon.
Periscope.
I always tell people, you know, like, oh, man, I don't have HBO. I said, listen, motherfucker, you have a phone? Okay. You have an app that downloads apps? Yeah. Download HBO right now, stupid.
HBO Go.
Free
HBO
trial.
Go.
Get a free trial.
Get that fucking free trial, bro. I don't have a debit card, bro. Here's 20 bucks. Open up a fucking account. So, in 14 days, bro. Don't wait 14 days. They'll get your ass if you try to cancel on the 14th day.
Oh, yeah, it's over. You started a new month.
You cancel on 10 days, man.
Customer service guy shut down.
On the 10th day. Oh, man, I just lost my job. I'm not going to be able to pay for HBO Go now. So get rid of it, man.
I love HBO Go, man. That's hell
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. All those fucking apps.
Right here with Eric Bobo and Rodrigo Torres, man. Eric, you travel a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm all over the place. I'm always on a plane.
You ever like, fuck, you ever like, sometimes, man, like as an artist, and people say artist, but there's other stuff without being an artist, like being there on time. Like Lunel, when we had the comedian, Lunel, female comedian, she said, oh, man, I go to tell motherfuckers trying to invite me to go fishing.
Jet skiing.
Fuck that. I got to save my energy for the show. I can't be going on the show with a fucked up back.
What if I twist my ankle on the jet ski for the day?
What if they crush my palms?
Yeah, she was serious, though. What if I twist my ankle?
Dude, it's happened to people. You got to cancel a gig and you're done.
Like Eric Bobo, bro. Like Eric Bobo playing percussion, bro. He can't be getting invited to no fucking Hamburg and what they game, bro.
No. I don't do that, man. I had to be careful. One time I fucked up. I was on tour playing basketball, playing against Ice Cube and some of his guys. And I swatted Ice Cube. I swatted, you know. But then I came down so hard. I came down on the concrete on my wrists and my shit just got fucked up. So, you know, the tour was still beginning, you know, just beginning. So, you know, my arm was getting all swole up and everything like that. It's hard, man. It's like, so I don't fuck around with anything that has to do with fucking up my hands. Can't do it.
Did you have to tape up your wrist, like duct tape, like MacGyver and shit?
Man, I tried. I tried all kinds of methods, you know, but, you know, fucking shit didn't work, man.
How about Jerry from Voodoo Glow School, bro? Get into a fight with his girlfriend before the tour, and then she breaks one of his fingers when he's sleeping.
I got a better one, though.
While he's sleeping?
Yeah.
They got in a fight. So I guess this fool threw a bottle at her. So this fool over there, she broke her finger and shit. Yanked that shit out of socket, but he put it back in.
Wow.
But this fool, they bet this fool $40 to jump off the second story of a hotel and land in the bushes, hedge dive. This motherfucker went through it and broke his foot. Had to play drums with a cheater pedal the next day.
Wow. No.
Yeah, dog.
What's a cheater pedal, Rodrigo?
Yeah, it's a double kick. Like a double,
really?
Yeah, that way he'll, like, you know, one tap will give you two taps instead of the regular foot, two taps with the, you know, two taps of the feet.
So he couldn't use both, like, calves?
Nah, hell no, dude. So he had to use that cheater pedal.
Because he jumped off?
$40?
$40, dog.
Wow, that gig must have been paying $8 a night.
Oh, so you should have seen how those fools were looking at that fool, dog. Every beat, every song, dog.
Well, there's chicks there, like, yeah, Jerry.
No, I guess there was a bunch of fools going, come on, man, you can do it. Fuck it, man. It's cool, man.
That's what's even worse, man. You just get the homies. Not like you're doing it for the girls.
Hell no. A bunch of cheerleaders right there.
Yeah, you don't get that. You just get the homies. Come on, dude. You can do it, bro.
Eric Bobo knows, bro. He knows that's what the fuck around at there, bro. No, one of the groupies do that. You do it, dog.
let me see you do it. You do it first, and then I think about it.
You ever get fans, like crazy rabid fans?
Yeah, some of them, they do crazy shit, you know. I mean, those these fans that kind of snuck in the bottom of the bay in the tour bus, and they did it at House of Pain's tour bus. But these chicks, they went in and they, you know, it's cold in there, you know. We're gonna try to go to the next city under there, you know. The things that people think about, you know, for their artists.
Wow, will the suitcase go?
Yeah, if we're in the bay.
So yeah, exactly. It's freezing down there, dog.
Man, she probably let a sleeping bag or something, dude.
Had to get in that bunk ASAP.
Man, yeah, but see, that's where the bunk love comes in. You know what I mean?
There's people getting into bunk love. There's people getting into this country that way, and she's just trying to go into the next city.
Think about that. Think about that for a second. That's crazy. But yeah, man, it's serious, man. They do crazy things, man. I mean, but I guess for us, the craziest thing is that people, they just try to smoke us out, you know, outsmoke us, you know, bring in all their weed and joints, just to smoke us out, you know.
Eric, it's sad how when you know that shit's weak, but you're going to say, yeah.
They know it's weak when you stop smoking that shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes, man, like, Rodrigo doesn't give a fuck. He'll just look around. When they pass it again, he'll say, nah, I'm good.
I'm good, bro. You can tell, the, man. As soon as the motherfucker lights that shit up, you can tell how good it smells. Oh, maybe tell. Not what it's going to do to your high, but I mean, you can tell, man.
Well, you know, you had to dirt be, weed, man. You had to be suspect when he said, you know, I grew this myself and come out of my Ooh. Own garden. I'm like, oh,
Jimmy.
Okay, here we go. You know,
we met a sound guy. You know, sound guys at theaters or music places are always crazy.
They swear, dog.
Bro, speaking of sound guy, man, I was in Orlando, Florida. I was on the last Comic Standing tour.
Oh, damn.
I was doing 20 minutes a night, 85 cities.
Closing out the show?
Closing out the show, bro. No sweat. I already won the money. But there was sometimes, man, like, only in places like Flint, Michigan. I found out that Michigan is free. It's like it's legal. These fans showed up, bro. Shout out to hillbillies and rednecks. They love me, bro. You know, they're like paisas, bro.
Same.
They love NASCAR. They look the same, bro. Just look at the way a paisa dresses, and look at the way a redneck guy dresses. They wear those ugly, oversized Nikes that cost $14.99. You know those big ones. They got mom jeans. They love mom jeans, bro. And they love NASCAR, bro.
And their hair is usually about 10 years behind.
Their hair is the same. They got the same mullets.
Same mullets.
From way back. Wow.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
And they all know somebody named Manny that fixes cars.
Man, he's in hand. Manny comes in hand. Man.
You know what's funny, bro? But those guys, man, the Mannys, Lencho or Pepe or Pulano, those fools that fix cars in the hood, you always ask yourself, imagine this guy had his own shop, how good he would do. But you think about it, man, nah, he wouldn't do too well. I know this guy. You know how he really doesn't know how to count. He has no business sense. He just know how to fix bugs. All PCP'd out.
That's that touch, dude. That's it, man.
Oh, my God.
There used to be this guy in the hood named Eli, and he was part of the family they called the Lecheros because there was like 20 of them, bro. And the dad used to wear all in white for church like he was going to row a boat in Venice or something, dude.
Fucking went to the Vatican, dog.
So they look like he looked like a milkman, right? But these fools were all in shape, bro. I don't know.
Like they were born that way, fool?
They were born to be fullbacks, bro.
Genetics, dog.
And the older brother was named Manuel, and he was a straight and narrow one. He didn't do drugs. He didn't smoke weed. He didn't curse. He didn't do no robberies. Like, everybody in our neighborhood did some kind of robbery. Like, we'll break into, like, hospitals and take all the ice cream. Nothing major, bro. You know, like, or go and put on a yellow vest and walk into a city job where the city workers in and take off with two truck batteries. Shit like that. But these, like the older brother, he will motivate, like Manuel will motivate all the little ones, bro, to do gymnastics. Like Damn. In the hood, bro.
Look at the triathlete.
Like he'll tell his brother to stretch out and he's stretching them out, bro, like stretching them out. And making them run laps around the projects. And then they'll tell them to take their shoes off. And they're doing gymnastics on the fucking grass, bro. Like, wow. No trampoline. He goes, jump, puto. Blink away. Te dije, cabrón. I told you to jump, pendejo. Come on, homie. You know, and then some. Then these fools do backflips, bro. They got really good at gymnastics. But they never took gymnastics in elementary school. They never took gymnastics in high school. These fools just became drug addicts that could do gymnastics, bro.
Wow.
Like, hey, bro, I'll give you more PCP if you do a backflip. I'll shot Holmes, and he'll do it, eh?
I'm going to do a triplet real quick.
With perfection.
A lot of lost talent in the hood, right, Eric, growing
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't pursue that shit, man.
You know, you never know. You know, hidden talents come out for things like that for crack or whatever.
Like, I wasn't a smart... I wasn't the funniest one in my neighborhood, bro. There was dudes that would make me cry, bro.
Oh, fool.
Fools
that There's hilarious just, fools all over the world that like, we're never going to hear of, Doc.
naturally funny fools that I cannot compete with that.
Like retarded if, funny, huh?
Like, fool? If a dude is funny naturally and he's... If that dude heckles me, he's going to fuck me up. You know, I'm not going to fuck with that guy.
He's like, that good.
You could tell.
You could tell,
man. Naturally,
like,
fool.
Like, I would be heckled by this guy, And this guy was heckling me good. He was heckling. He was putting other comedians were shutting up. Remember the famous heckler?
Oh my God, dog.
Tell him what happened when Jeff Garcia was on stage. Oh, Jeff Garcia, the comedian, and he had like a big nose.
First of all, he fucking hit on his nose. Second thing, he noticed that fool didn't have hair on his legs. You shave your legs, dog. And there was an old ass lady in the audience. He grabs her, he fucking twirls her around, goes, "Oh, this is, I'm over here dancing with Elvis's wife." Like, he wouldn't stop, dude. He kept going, dog. Fucking ham.
Then there was a Mexican dude that went up there who said he's Mexican, but he looked more like a trailer trash fool. he called that fool of, "Hey man, who let the tow truck driver be funny, eh?"
Wow. And ever since that, the motherfucker got a nickname, the tow truck driver.
And then he told that guy with a big nose, "Hey, bro, don't do comedy, homie. Hey, sing me an Armenian song, eh?"
Oh, wow.
Good
that's
shit,
low,
bro.
That's low.
But this is funny about this guy. He's not really a comedian. He's just a funny guy. But this guy, he was funny at the wrong place one time, man. We were at this club. And then after the club, we went to go eat at Ordonez. In Montebello,
Quiet Cannon,
and this fool had a big black guy. He said, "What happened?" And they fucking jumped me right now, eh?
Right after I was talking to you guys.
Oh, man.
Somebody didn't like his flavor,
that's
though.
A hidden talent, bro, but he uses it for bad.
Yeah. You had to be careful with that, you know, use it for good. Use the hidden talent for good. You go far.
Eric, when you grow, you know, you come from a very talented family. Your father is Willie Bobo.
Yeah.
As a kid, did you right away gravitate to the drums? Because I see a lot of photos of you and your pops. Let me tell you, man, very heartwarming. You know, when you're watching those photos, you just want to call your dad, even though you never were close to your dad. You know what, motherfucker? Just want to say hi, bye.
Never taught me how to play the drums.
Motherfucker said, "This is not for you."
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was banging on pots and pans and stuff.
As a kid,
I was like 2 or 3 years old, you know? So... when I was 5, I did my first professional gig at this club called Dante's in North Hollywood.
Playing with your father?
Playing with my dad. And I posted some of these pics. Like, this is my first performance. I had to get on a stool because I couldn't reach the drums or whatever. Thing is, no rehearsal. There was no rehearsal. I had no pre-warning that this was going to happen. My mom wasn't there. My bro wasn't there. It was just me and my dad. And this 21 and over club, dark club. And I'm going to get up there and play in front of all these people for the first time. I was scared shitless. I think you could see it in the pics. Like, I mean, there's water in my eyes because I'm like scared. But at the same time, I knew it's what I wanted to do after that. You know, so from 5 years old on, you know, that's what I wanted.
And that's how you started off with percussion. You play all percussion? Or
yeah.
Bongos?
Yeah, bongos, congas, timbales, you know, shakers, boxes, you know, sticks, whatever, rocks, whatever. You know, I make a beat out of anything.
First off, man, thanks for doing the interview here at Be Real TV. And thanks for Ezo for letting us have it here. We're planning on having it in Burbank. And I forgot I was going to bring my bongos I bought. Because I bought bongos.
Oh, man.
And I have the little screwdriver for it, bro. You see, you
know? Tune them up.
And yeah. I've been practicing. And I only know one beat, bro. But the one is like, I don't know how it goes, but it's two here, one here. Two here, one here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have to give you a couple more beats that you can work with. Yeah.
But yeah, man.
You can do that. But no, it's great, man. I mean, I love to be able to play and, you know, and my thing was, growing up and listening to like Latin jazz and salsa and really getting that grasp of the percussion thing. Cause even in hip hop, early hip hop, you hear percussion, you know, you hear the bells, the timbale breaks and everything like that. So it's just been great to be able to play an instrument that really isn't known for being up front, but could blend right in and play any genre, you know, it's a good thing.
And what you started playing out first was like what, Afro-Cuban music, salsa stuff, or
yeah, more like Latin jazz. You know, my dad was, you know, he was playing with Tito Puente when he was like 20 years old. You know, so he grew up in the.
Your dad played with Tito Puente at 20 years old.
And my dad played with Tito Puente when he was 20 for 5 years, from 20 to 25, and him, my dad, my Tito Puente, my dad, Mongo Santa Maria were known as. the best percussion trio
in the world, right?
Ever. You know, so those songs like Oye Como Va, all those original Tito Puente jams, my dad is in all of them, on all of them. So being able to even play with me, play with Tito Puente after my dad passed, you know, and meeting a lot of musicians in the jazz world and growing up all around that. And later to get into hip hop and they're sampling some of those artists that I grew up just watching, you know, putting it all together. It was like full fucking circle.
Yeah, like I remember, what's his name? That rapper that Eminem promotes. What's his name? His homie from Detroit?
Royce the 5'9". Royce?
No, the other one.
Young Buck?
No, the other one. He's from his town. He's part of his crew.
Proof?
No,
Proof.
He did only one album. Anyway, he sampled Take 5.
Yeah, see?
Dave Brubeck, yeah. And I heard right away, and I said, wait a minute, I know this. And right away, I went to go look. Yeah, he just slowed it down a bit, but he did it real good the way he sampled it.
See, that's the cool thing. And like, I've had a lot of producers come up to me and know of my dad because of the sampling thing. You know, I was playing with the Beastie Boys and I had my time with them for like 4 years. And I didn't realize that they sampled my dad on their second record. Paul's Boutique, you know, like little breaks and all the timbale breaks you hear. That's my dad.
That's my favorite album.
Yeah, it's because
of the percussion on that.
Yeah, so you know, it just tripped me out that people were like acknowledging my dad, and which I thought no one really knew outside of the Latin jazz salsa world, you know. So it's crazy.
How'd you link up with those dudes?
Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, I did a wedding. I did a wedding for Ad Rock. Matt Robinson. Who is a brother for Holly Robinson, Pete, had a club and I was the entertainment in one of the rooms, you know, I had a little jazz trio. So he said, yo, man, Ad Rock is looking for a band, you know, and I recommended you and he wants you to be in Newest Wedding. I'm like, Ad Rock? Like, are the Beastie Boys? I'm like, you're bullshitting me. I'm a big fan of the Beastie Boys. And he said, no, for real. And I said, I didn't believe him. So he had Ad Rock call me up. And I did the wedding march. I had to put a trio together, and I did the wedding march. I did all of this stuff. I was the entertainment there. 3 months later, I get a call from Mike D asking if I wanted to play in the Check Your Head tour for their album. So I auditioned. I hate auditions, but I auditioned. And I remember I ran through all those songs. Like, whatever song they threw at me, I was like, I got this. I got the itinerary, and there it was. You know, and that's what started everything. And what was crazy is that on that tour, that's where I met Cypress, because they opened up for BC's on that tour, the last 2 weeks of that tour. So two influential hip-hop groups coming into my life around the same time. And I wound up for like 3 years playing with both groups. You know, I was flip-flopping between both.
When one of them was on the road, the other one was off, and you'd handle it that way?
Yeah. It fucked up when they decided to get tours at the same time. That's when it fucked up.
The double work?
Yeah. Well, double work is because I couldn't do both. Hologram shit wasn't really popping back then.
I mean? I was thinking like, maybe
you know what I mean? If I would have done that, you know, that would have been great. But, you know, it came to a point that I had to make a choice.
And recording, you worked on BC Boys albums?
Yes. Ill Communication, Hello Nasty, Root Down EP. There's a song on Ill Communication called Bobo on the Corner.
Right.
You know, that's me. And then there's another B-side that we did. It's called Son of Neckbone, which is an homage to my dad. He had fried neck bones and some home fries. I'm Son of Neckbone. So it was, you know, crazy.
Hell yeah.
I like that song, man. I actually used to have that on my other phone. It was Willie Bobo's greatest hits.
Yeah.
And it had a fried neck bones.
And some home fries. Yeah.
There's another song he does too that I don't know he did, But it's a popular song, too. It's all, that's how it goes, though.
Yeah, you know, my dad, man, my dad was popular with the Raza, man. He used to play down at this place called the Pasta House, down, I believe, it was in, like, Montebello. He would always be
the
down
Pasta
there.
House. The Pasta House. That's old school right there.
Yeah, OG Pasta House, and always be down there, and we played a lot with, like, groups like El Chicano and Tierra and Azteca. We're doing, like, this outdoor, like, fairs and shit like that, you know. So it was crazy, man. But they loved him. They loved Pops. They loved my Pops.
It's funny you say that because I was invited one time to do the Montebello Inn. You been to Rodrigo?
Yeah.
Christmas Day?
Christmas Day. Shit.
Every Christmas Day at the Montebello Inn, but it's usually in the Montebello Inn or somewhere. All these old bands get together. The ones you just mentioned, all the Chicano ones, Tierra, the Midnighters, Hannibal and Headhunters, all these old ones and the older ones too. They get together and they play and they jam all night.
You know, jam session, everybody.
And they serve what, pozole?
They serve menudo. Menudo. Yeah. At the end of the show, they serve menudo for everybody with birote.
Shit, man. Now, that's the fucking jam, man. That, I mean, when you get those kind of events, and I mean, that's music right there. That's classic, yeah, man.
Yeah, people just stay all night, right?
They stay all night.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, it was great to be able to see all those kind of bands, you know, and, you know, then the popular R&B funk bands like Roy Ayers and people like that, and Concerts by the Sea that's over in Redondo Beach, and you had the Lighthouse, all the jazz clubs, and, you know, all these groups were coming in, and Tito Puente would come in, and all these people, man. That's how I grew up. I grew up just around all this shit, you know, but at the same time, my friends would listen to hip hop. So that's when Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster Flash and all that stuff. So my worlds were just coming together. I had no thought in the world that I would be playing with BC Boys of Cypress Hill. Never. I thought I'd be like playing the jazz festivals, Playboy Jazz Festival, Monterey Jazz Festival, and, you know, call it a day, you know what I mean?
A lot of the original hip hop albums play a lot of bongos, huh?
Yeah, man. A lot of you hear like Sugar Hill Gang, like Rapper's Delight. The first thing you hear is like some bongos, and you hear some bells. Okay, you know, you can name them. You know, Grandmaster White Flash, Lines too. Yeah. White Lines. You know,
even the Yardbirds on the way here.
Yeah, that song.
The Breaks by Curtis Blow. There's like a timbale solo there in the Breaks. You know what I mean? Yeah. So all of that stuff, and those were all live musicians because no one was sampling. There was no thing, so it was live musicians. So a lot of those musicians were like, you know, Latinos. So the percussion is there.
And you grew up in Los Angeles?
I grew up in Los Angeles, but born in New York.
Oh, yeah?
Born in New York, Hollis, Queens.
Hollis, Queens.
Hey. Hollis, Queens.
Was where them seals from?
Yep. So, but I came out here when I was like 13 months old, so I'm West Coast.
What you grew up in? What neighborhood?
Highland Park,
damn.
Highland Park.
And it was crazy.
Yeah, Los Avenues and
Cypress Park.
Yeah, I was right there. Like Mount Washington, which, you know, basically still have a house there today. Right in the middle.
Good investment right there.
Eagle Rock. Now it's blowing up.
I know.
I mean, you go through York Boulevard. That used to, at night, you did not want to drive down there. You didn't want to walk down there.
Now, you want a heroin, you did.
So. Yeah, but now you can get vegan tacos and everything from the fucking trucks, and it's all, you know, on the ice.
Artisan churros.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. I mean, I went down and I saw like five or six different spots of vegan tacos, burritos, and tortas, and... And I'm like, I don't remember York Boulevard being like this. Yeah, but
it's a New York, Yorkshire.
Yeah, the Yorkshire. Yeah, it's really hot.
Oh man!
But yeah, that's the hood. I went to Cathedral High School.
Cathedral.
Yeah, I went to Cathedral. Graduated from there. Cal State LA. There, USC. Transferred to USC.
When I was growing up, I went to El Sereno Junior High School for 1 year, and there was a lot of fools that were breakdancing from Highland Park.
Yeah.
To El Sereno. And there was some fools that some breakdancing crew that was named after the street you used to live in Highland Park.
I was on Meridian.
They were called the Meridian Rap Breakers.
Oh, wow. You used to live in Highland Park, huh?
Right when it was becoming gentrified, I bought a house with my ex-husband.
She lived next to a house? The last white people that lived there, they were all meth heads.
No, the neighbors were meth heads, and they sold meth out of the house.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's hot.
They rented from their mom, and there was like two 50-year-old women in the front and back house. People would knock on the front, they'd be sent to the back for the stuff. Yeah, it was
amazing.
But then I left the neighborhood.
Okay. Jesus, peace out.
Late. Rogelio, you live in Highland Park too, right?
No, that was more.
It was in Eagle Rock.
Yeah, Eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the hood right there. Eagle Rock.
Same area. Yeah,
yeah. Eagle Rock Boulevard, right there.
What did you go to college? Why did you just go straight to performing? Did you want to?
Okay, well, this is the thing is that, you know, I was always playing, but my dad was always like, you know, school. You know, if I fucked up in my grades, I wouldn't be playing. So it's like, I had to get a backup of some sort. But I went to college and I was doing that thing. But at the same time, you know, the jazz clubs were kind of drying up and a lot of the gigs were not coming like they were. But the opportunity came with the Beastie Boys and that's when I went that way. But that's when I left college. I left college, you know.
Go on tour?
Well, you know, I left college because the damn substitute teacher who was the chairperson of the department, Jazz City's department, he says, okay, this is something that you should use while thinking about writing your music. And he wrote one word. He wrote Scientology.
Damn.
On the board. I said,
fuck Tom Cruise.
I said, fuck this. I got up and I walked out. I remember
don't need to see no thetans.
No. I remember when some dude gave my dad the book Dianetics.
By L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember the commercials. Commercials used to
commercials
be like,
was like fire and lava.
Yo,
and
like all over the place, right? All over the fucking place.
Over so 70 million books sold.
Like, holy shit. So then my pops comes home with fucking Dianetics. And I'm like, wow. He got the fucking Dianetics book, you know what I mean? So I'm going to try to read it.
I thought it was a house self-help book, too.
It didn't make any sense.
Well, my dad wasn't trying to read that shit. My dad, you know, he wasn't trying to read none of that shit. I gave it a shot. But when so the one thing I remember is that it says, if you come up to a word you don't understand, you have to go to the dictionary in the back. They have so many made-up fucking words.
That book is so confusing.
I was like, every three words, I'm going back in the glossary, like, what the fucking word are they talking about? After about three pages, I gave up. I said, fuck this, Dianetics. So that was already there. So that when this guy wrote Scientology on the board, I'm like, this has nothing to do with music. I'm sorry. And I got up and I left. And then I went on the road like some months later.
Your father, you know, he's a jazz musician, and so are you yourself. And me and Lisa are always we're always thinking about we're intrigued actually that because we saw it in that movie with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx. What's that movie called?
Collateral.
Collateral, and they go to the jazz area in Crenshaw, and then they have like a long monologue.
About Central Avenue, right?
Central Avenue, and I told Lisa, yeah. Back in the day, before they were selling just furniture there, it was all just jazz. Before they were giving out phones there. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. I mean,
how hot it was,
man. That was like the spot. I mean,
seventies, right?
Seventies, and they called that like the Chitlin' Circuit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So you had, I mean, all in South Central, you had Marla's Memory Lane, you had the Parisian Room, you had all these kind of spots and top notch talent.
Maverick Flats,
yeah, Maverick Flats, stuff like that. But they would be kind of like in the hood. Ish, you know what I mean? But I mean, good entertainment, good spots, classic spots,
good ass food, too.
And then you get good fucking food. My pops would come home, doggy bags, he'll come up with some food. So, yeah, those were the good old days. Doggy bags, man. Yeah,
it was a hot circuit though for people.
Yeah, it was. you know, if you came to L.A., you needed to play the Chillin' Circuit. You know, it's like if you go to New York, you wasn't really popping if you didn't play like the Apollo.
Harlem.
Or places like that. So it was clubs like that that you needed to play to get that acceptance. And then you can go out, you know, and to the more nicer gentrified clubs, I guess.
When Rodrigo and I, we went to Peoria, that's where Richard Pryor's from.
Yeah, yeah, Peoria.
Our driver there, he told us straight up that, no, man, even before Richard Pryor, before all that shit, he goes, this was the jazz era. He goes, this was like Vegas. So this is where people performed. And he took us where the buildings used to be.
Wow.
They ain't up there no more, huh?
Hell yeah, since from the booming 20s on up.
Wow, man.
Jazz was something that also people, at first, like the people, like I guess Christians, you know, people who are God-fearing, they saw it as a bad thing too, huh? Well, it's the devil.
You know, they saw it as a bad thing, you know.
That's where they got their reefer from.
I guess anything that was going to make that's your new, body, right? That was going to
make you move, I think,
make your body
yeah.
move.
Go, white girl.
It was going to be, you know, crazy. You know, that's the devil's music, you know. You're supposed to just like sit in your chair and just clap your hands and that's it. Not, you know, move your waist and your hips and your ass, you know. And I think that's, and a lot of people were afraid of that. But you go down there to the Chillin' Circuit, some of these spots that you can just like let loose.
Some of these musicians used to be in the circus too.
You know, and you do that, you know, and it was great. And also, you know, you were able to find some dope comedians too. Cause like,
yeah.
There was a place called the Parisian Room that there was always a comedian that came on beforehand. So people like, Ronaldo Ray.
Royce of comedy.
Yeah, yeah. The you know fuck sometimes Fred Red Fox, you know, and also other classic, you know, people would go down there, and that was the shit, you know.
Hell yeah.
43rd and Crenshaw, bro. What's the name of that club? Well, they tape BET.
The Joint.
Totally.
J Spot.
Not the J Spot. J Spot's there. No,
Union.
No, back in the days.
Oh. Total Experience. No.
It was on 43rd and Crenshaw because I remember across the street there used to be a place that sold fried chicken and barbecue.
What, the Family Room?
Not the Family. Way before that. Oh, that's wow. Where Willie used to brag about it, bro.
Wow.
Comedy Act.
Comedy Act Theater.
Wow.
That's old school.
We saw that place. It was like on it's on Crenshaw?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. That's
Maverick back. Flats. I never forget that place because I was there looking for a comedian to book for Wild Coyote with Willie and we saw Melanie Camacho hosting.
Wow.
That place just closed. What's up, fool? Oh, shit. We have a Eric Bobo. Be real. What's up, fool?
What's up?
What up, man? Chilling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those were, I mean, you were able to see good talent, music, you know, comedy, food. The scene was just there. And I think that when the 80s came, it slowly but surely started to die out because, you know, new owners, they were looking at a different thing. You know, they didn't come from that old school. So once the old schoolers started to die out, I think the vibe of some of those jazz clubs.
Now a country western bar were opening up.
You know what I mean? But like when the Lighthouse became like this, you know, pop rock club, you know, when it was like a premier jazz spot, you know, and some of them they just had to close. So for me, the scene was kind of like dying out, and I saw that. And it was just like, you know, do I stay in this or what do I do, or do I take a chance and do something else? And I guess hip hop was the way.
When did you start with Cypress Hill?
I started in 90. My first show with them was 92, and I met them in 92, and my first tour with them in 93 was Solus S's tours, House of Pain, Cypress Hill, Funk Dubious, The Hooligans, and that was like a week of like some craziness. It was fun, but it was crazy. When I went back to turn with the Beastie Boys, I went back a different person. I was corrupted. I was fucking corrupted, and I'm not gonna fucking lie.
A bit, man.
Man, it was a man. I was going up on stage with my Sherlock Holmes pipe full of weed, a glass of wine. I was doing that on the Beastie Boys set.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're right.
They say, wait a minute, man. What happened? Because first tour, you know, I was kind of shy, timid, you know, and everything like that. don't laugh. Don't judge me. So, but then, you know, and then when Cypress, they joined the tour 2 weeks later after Ice Cube and the Lynch Mob, they didn't. Those guys didn't talk to nobody.
Really?
No, they didn't really talk to nobody. They were doing songs like, you know, buck a double, you know, all these white kids, you know, they're talking to all the doubles and everything. I'm like, okay, so after 2 weeks, they were gone. So here comes Cypress Hill. Here comes Cypress Hill, and I wound up hanging out with them a little bit more, like on their bus and everything like this. I mean, they got the good weed. But BC's had good weed.
They had all the bitches.
Man, there was a party going on over there. I mean, I'm like, wow, I like this. And then the tour and then craziness.
What's the fattest joint you've seen on that tour?
The fattest joint? Shit. I mean, B was rolling like these big bomber fucking joints. And, you know,
she looked like a little cast.
Yeah, man. It's like, and the weed.
What
was
have
like
you endless. Lost?
The weed, weed would just be endless. You know, it seemed like endless. Yeah. Because everybody's fucking smoking heavy. I mean, heavy duty. You know, everybody's young lungs. You know, young lungs. Yeah, it was nuts. You know, and then I remember. I gave my brother came to one of the shows and he wanted to smoke. I want to smoke, see what all this weed is all about. He's a big stoner. And I said, yo, B, you know, give me a couple of, you know, nugs. He said, yeah, no problem. He just came in and gave me a fucking handful. I mean, I just asked for a couple of nugs. This fool gives me like a handful and I give, you know, my bro some. He smokes a little bit. He has to sit down on the stoop asking for water. He has his head down like, yo, what happened? You know,
I thought we was gonna
let's see what these young guys got. I'm like, yo, this ain't the 70s no more, man.
Took a knee. Huh?
You need to respect the young bucks now. Yeah.
Have crazy. You guys ever been out smoked by anybody or no? Anybody came ever through like a wizard and go, God damn, this motherfucker.
No. I mean, there is footage. Matched. There is footage of Wiz Khalifa saying, man, I had to hide from you, be real, because you smoke too much, man. Your shit is too high powered.
And we're talking Wiz? Like, you know,
so, you know, I mean, Snoop can hang, but I want to say that the caliber and quality of the weed that comes from the hill is
madly superior.
Madly superior. There's real smokers going on.
Hell yeah.
So I have to give it up to the, you know, to our side.
Yeah, man. Speaking of the Emerald Forest, I love that YouTube video or Instagram video of this old ass hippie. He's in the woods, bro. And he grabs some shit, some weed that he just been sticking for a while, and he cuts it out. He fucking he grinds it all up with a keef, and he makes fucking shatter right there in front of you, bro. He just keeps pressing it, and he grabs the regular bud, and he puts the fucking. You can see that shit sizzling, bro, like a primo.
Wow. What is it called? The Emerald Forest?
Emerald Forest, right?
Shit.
Mendocino, Calistoga, and I don't know the other town.
I need to check that out.
Eureka,
there you go.
Humboldt or something guessing. Like that.
There, Eureka.
I'm only guessing.
That little triangle?
Yeah, man.
Wow, man.
Lush part of California.
So how you been? So you've been touring with Cypress Hill since 92, right?
Like 93 is like when I really started to tour with Cypress, and it's been good ever since.
You ever hit a spot where there's no weed?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
New Orleans.
Oh, man, there was some spots that was like, man, what is this? Like, if there's boo-boo weed, we're not smoking it.
Burbank.
You know, it's like
a headache.
Straight boo-boo.
Yeah, fuck that.
It's you know, bad, how?
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it gets bad. Yo, man, I got the chronic. I got the kush. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have, you have boo-boo. You have boo-boo weed.
Sorry, man, but you're in Dubuque, Iowa. This is not the chronic.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe it's a chronic for some of these guys, but like I said, the caliber of weed that I mean, if I was to, B-Will would get very mad at me if I handed him a joint of some boof, and say, "Yo, man, hit this," he'd get very upset because he's like, "Well, what is this?
You insulted.
Yeah, insulted. Solid Rock Trigo making me cry.
Yo, yo. He might want to fire me. I might lose my job.
Rodrigo, what's up, man? You got anything to add to that?
What's your life setup right now, like playing live with Cypress?
Oh, wow. I've just added some new things now, but right now, you know, I got my congas, mongo, cymbals, timbales, cowbell. Got to keep the cowbell.
More cowbell.
You know, I give more cowbell. I have like about three cowbells. Choose your cowbell. And my djembe, Roland Hand Sonic. Shout out for Roland. I just got hooked up with them. Like the
digital? Me.
Yeah, so now I got digital drums too. So SPD one pads, other.
So you could set it up and program it and then do
Your
other stuff.
Yeah, so I'm doing stuff on, you know, so different sounds and things like that. This stuff that I don't even know the name of it, but I have it because it does some cool shit, you know. So props out to Roland for hooking that up for the tour.
Eric, how about that deaf motherfucker playing the keyboard, though?
Okay.
Blind.
All right. That blind.
Now, that
Luis, right?
She said, no.
Yo, I saw him the other, like, 2 weeks ago.
Live?
Live. Julio Morones.
Yeah.
Okay, Julio Morones. The first time I saw this clip, he said, un, dos, tres, dice. And then he went off. First, I'm looking at his. I'm not thinking that the guy is blind. Okay, yeah. I'm looking at his face though. I'm like saying, "Yo, man, his face is like really kind of crazy." You know,
focus.
He was really focused. It's exactly,
a silver eye,
right? And I mean, but his fingers, he wasn't even looking at the keys. But
it's
incredible. He was hitting that shit, right?
I don't even know.
Right. So then, as the comments started coming in. They said, yo, man, look at his face, man. His face is scary. And then people were like, yo, he's blind. I'm like, what? He's blind? I said, that makes it even more dope. Then I kept on looking at it more and more. I said, no wonder he's not looking at the keys. Not that, you know. But his precision was just on point,
man.
Mind bending.
I mean, and then he went off into the keyboard shit. So it wasn't just a drum shit. He went off in that.
This
fool plays all kinds of different styles.
And he can sing.
He is a guy you want to have him for your house party. Get that dude.
Actually, he has 3 dates coming up, right?
He got booked a lot from the podcast.
Yeah,
I think we should maybe hire him.
You need to have him. So it was a trip because he just did that show, pops out to Subsuelo Sundays that they have. That's where he played.
Oh.
And then he says, the head dude's like, yo, it's funny because I was looking at Felipe Esparza's, you know, feed, and he said that he found out about him through you.
Yeah, you shared it first.
Yeah. So it was like, So and now he's going to be there. I said, I got to be there. I mean, I met him, took pics with him. I was like right there, man. He was fucking bad, fucking ass. He's badass, man. He was, I mean, his speed, he's speedy, man.
Quick.
I'm like, damn.
And when he plays guitar on the keyboard, it's just amazing because it sounds realistic. And
fucking shred.
He's playing it like he's strumming, you know, like a classical guitar.
Yeah. He was doing like some Santana stuff, and he was like, he was going at it like he was really playing the guitar. So, yeah, he's dope. Amazing. I said, I want to jam with you. I want to jam.
I tell you what's amazing, man. This fool fell off a fucking 20-story roof. This dude shows up.
Wait, he fell again?
What?
I didn't fall.
Oh,
this time.
You don't know what happened?
This fool fucked up his back eating a sandwich.
This motherfucker.
He fucked up his back turning around looking at somebody. What?
What happened?
I was on an uneven surface and I slipped and I just felt my back. It's all.
Ooh, you have like a slip disc or something like that?
No, just a little fuck.
Man, I saw this fool walking like this,
dude,
man.
That shit killed me.
Walking like this with his bag like this to come to me. And I said, this motherfucker.
So we just shot him.
You were meeting him in the airport,
I was like,
right?
This fool like this, going like this. I said, nah, man, this fool ain't going to be able to do merch or pretty much. He's out. He's out here
I'm like Julio Morones. I can do it blind, eh?
Oh, yeah.
But you said the night of the performance. What did he do?
Oh my God! This fool. You know those house robes, Eric?
Yeah.
Those house white ones.
Oh shit! Oh, hotel robes.
This fool tied. He got the house robe, but he got the rope. The belt part, yeah. And he fucking made himself a wrap. He wrapped himself in like a mummy and made a brace.
I mean, a bondage.
He made a brace.
He made a brace.
Hey, the show must go on, bro.
And he tied himself up, man. Like, and I was like, fuck.
Did it work?
It worked like a dream, dog. I was up there ice skating on stage.
But that fucking rope, that rope got unraveled on the way out of the car. It took him a while. Man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man, a lot of deep breathing, yoga breathing.
We're going to do my hobby. Come on, my friend.
If I wanted to take it to the strip club, there's no strip club, bro.
Springfield?
You guys are artists. You guys are, the girls are going to fall all over you. We'll have a lady fall on me, dog. She'll break my back.
Be careful.
That was the first thing the guy said to pick this up. What's that to do right here? We got one of the finest strip bars across the street.
That's how they rob you after this show.
Exactly, dude.
Take your money you just made.
My daughter works there.
Hit me upside the head with a fucking pipe.
Oh, no good. No good.
Yeah. All those small towns, they like to keep that money right there. Then at the end of the night, it's gone.
They don't want you to go out of the town. Where's the best bars at? That was the street.
Yeah, spend all that money right there.
I'm trying to buy a dog. There's a pet store right here.
Got one for sale.
Hey, man, you ever been in a situation, man, where you're partying with somebody and the fool don't want to let you leave? No matter what you say, they got something. Or we got to catch a flight before I own a plane.
I'm a pilot.
I have a runway in Fresno where we do drops. You want to go?
You know what I'm saying, Los Angeles, right?
Man. No, I haven't. I don't know about that. I plead the fifth.
How about the after party, bro? Little more after party, man?
Ooh. After parties nowadays.
Like, you've been to like Lisa and I. We went to a badass underground party though in downtown LA with a badass DJ
a long time ago.
Right
there,
ninth.
There were rotating DJs.
Ninth and Olive.
Yo, I went there. There was a long time. Well, some time ago that I went to some after hour joint, and
it was like in a warehouse.
Yeah, it was like some warehouse thing. And then who do I see? I see fucking
Rodrigo strapped.
No, Lawrence Fishburne. There by himself.
Drink a tea.
And I'm like, what are you doing, Lawrence, at 3:30 in the morning?
Looking for blue pills.
What are you doing? Yeah, exactly. Maybe you're doing research.
For a role.
You're doing research for a role, and it turned out to be Morpheus. The red or the green or the blue, whatever, you know. Yeah, I mean, you never know who you might see at some of those underground parties.
Lurking.
Doing research.
Man, I've been to a couple of them in L.A., and I've been to one in Houston, but they've all been, like, crazy. They're always at the shady part of town. Like, they're not hard to find. You know how the people growing up, people say, oh, he grew up on the wrong side of the tracks? That's where most of the strippers are.
Yeah. No,
and most
true.
Of the Farmer's Brothers restaurants. What is the worst? What's the longest you can wait without good food?
Oh, man, probably a tour in Europe.
Like no tacos, no tortillas.
Oh, my God.
No sopa.
It's rough. I mean, you know what? I have to say, I mean, this is no disrespect for the people, but Germany is really rough for me.
Yeah, Germany?
Germany is
How about Ireland? Food. We have a listener from Ireland, Glenn Carlin, right?
Some of the best Cuban food I had was in Ireland.
What? Coño?
Yo, me and Sendog, we were walking.
Hear that, Glenn?
And then all of a sudden, we're walking in Dublin, and all of a sudden, we see a Cuban flag. Like, yo, what's up with the Cuban flag? And it turned out to be, like, here in Dublin. Wound up going up there and seeing the menu. Went up there, and it was legit. They had everything. They had Malta. I love Malta. You know what I mean? They had everything.
What's Malta?
Malta is like this malt. This shake. Yeah, this is something. It's not alcoholic, but it's like a malt. And a lot of people, they don't like it. It's an acquired taste. You got to drink that shit when you're young.
My man.
They're serving at the restaurant that Scarface works at, remember?
Yeah.
Manta, man. My mom, when I was a baby, she would put some egg in that and put it in a bottle and give me a punch in what they call it. Yeah.
My dad would do that with the orange juice. He'll put orange juice and then add two eggs and then whip it up.
Whip that shit up, yeah.
And then I went to go jogging like Rocky.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
See, that's all bad, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all bad, like salmonella, right?
Yeah, I don't know how people avoided it back then, but
man, yeah,
is makes that, you stronger.
No, that in that in Viva Peru, you know what I mean?
Oh my God, it's, my mama put it in my mouth, my throat, my ears, under my eyes. Vapor rub,
Vicks vapor rub.
Lisa put it on my feet one time.
Hey, it does everything. For Latins, it does everything. You know, if you have a fever,
it's magical.
It has powers.
You want to torture your kids, put it on their eyelids, they close their eyes, go to sleep. I saw in a movie one time, Four Rooms, and Antonio Banderas did it to his kids. What's up, fool? Tell us about the new album.
Elephants on Acid. Yes.
Kill some Be Real, Rodrigo.
Cypress. Oh, you do Be Real.
Do it, bro.
Come on, you got to do
best
it.
Best record we have thus far. you guys, this is the first record in 8 years, huh, Big Dog?
Yeah, first one in 8 years, and we're really excited about it. Came out on Friday, on the 28th September, and we're excited, man. It's like excited to go out on the road and play some new music, and add that thing to the set list. Produced by DJ Muggs, longtime producer, founder, co-founder of Cypress, and it's a banger. It's dark. It's a trip. It is a trip.
Hell yeah.
Get ready.
When did you guys start writing this record, though?
It's been a while. We're working on it for a while. And also because, you know, we're always on the road, you know, so.
You guys are mad road dogs, man.
Yeah. So you have to try to really, you know, organize the time to get it done. But we were able to do it. And you know, finally, after years of talking about it, here it is.
Where'd you guys record it at?
Out here. L.A. and also Muggs did some recording in Egypt.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. So that was great.
What's up, fool? Let me just shout out my little dates real fast before we forget.
Make it
October dates, October 4th through the 7th. I'll be in West Nyack, New York at Levity Live. See you guys there, man. Come on down. Make the drive from New York. It's only 40 minutes. Also, October 12th, Dallas, Texas, at the Majestic Theater. October 13th, Houston, Texas, at Cullen Performance Hall.
That's at University of Houston.
University of Houston. There you go. October 18th to the 21st, I'll be in Tampa, Florida, Ybor City. Look for me at Tampa Improv. October 26th, Seattle, Washington, at the Moore Theater. October 27th, Reno, Nevada, at the Silver Legacy Casino. Also, just added, New Year's Eve, I'm coming to Denver, Colorado. That's right. Denver, Colorado. It's going to be fun. Rodrigo
Paramount Theater.
Paramount Theater. Eric, yeah, Bobo, any dates coming up?
We start our South American tour in October 6th. Yes. And that's in Cordoba. We're playing Brazil, we're playing Chile, Argentina.
Wow.
We go to Europe later on in the year. We're doing our Haunted Hill shows, which is our annual Halloween thing we've been doing for like 15, 20.
Where's that at?
That's going to be two dates in L.A., El Rey and the Roxy. We got two dates in New York to do that. So that's going to be fun. And it's going to be dope. Got tour dates for next year. As well, we're going to be doing the U.S. tour with Hollywood Undead, and we'll be all over the place for a good 4 weeks. So catch all the dates, CypressHill.com, CypressHill IG, all that social media madness.
Rodrigo, you got that fucking Viva Los Jokes, right?
Viva Los Jokes next Tuesday, October 9th in Riverside at Zacatecas Cafe. Thank you very much to everybody that came out to Alex's bar last night, September 30th. And, yeah, man, check out the new episode of the Yeah Man podcast.
What's up, fool? We got Johnny Rucker right here. Johnny, what's up, man? Johnny Rucker.
Finest.
Any dates coming up? Who the fuck is Johnny Rucker? He's right here.
I'm right here. This October with you.
Yes, all right.
14, 15, right?
You have your podcast, right? That's every week?
Yeah, podcast. Time with Nick and Johnny every week.
What's up, fool? Shout out to Be Real TV. Don't forget to watch all the shows here at Be Real TV. They got the Smoking in the Car show.
Smoke Box.
Smoke Box. How was that?
Box.
How was that?
I've been there. I choked, bro. Oh, man. I couldn't breathe. I wanted a water so bad.
Oh, shit.
I was talking like Be Real too. What's up, fool? Man. Remember when we were in the airport, man, and he was there with the homie with the photographer?
Yeah.
The cool ass food too. Huh? No. The Be Real.
Oh, you mean Eitan.
Eitan.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, he takes good photos too.
Yeah, he does.
That fool was vaping in that fucking airport, bro, like a soldier.
Right there just vaping. Dude. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You know, I did. I joined him too. I did. You guys didn't see me though, but I joined him. I can't let him do it by itself, you know. I got to join.
What's up? Where can they follow you at on Instagram?
Yeah, Eric_Bobo that's it. At Eric_Bobo.
On Twitter?
On Twitter.
At Eric Bobo on Twitter, on Facebook, at Eric Bobo Music. That's my fan page and all that good stuff. I'm always doing stuff on there, so catch me on my IG Live and all that good madness.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you for being a guest on our show.
Thank you for inviting me, man. That was great, man. When I couldn't believe it. And he said, yo, man, you want to be down on the podcast? I'm like, who, me?
Yeah. You're so full. Thank you. Lisa Esparza right here. There you go. All right, fool.
Du suchst nicht einfach nur ein Auto, sondern den perfekten Begleiter? Du willst direkt durchstarten, auch ohne festes Ziel? Du willst voll aufdrehen und erleben, wohin dein Weg dich führt? Du kannst es gar nicht abwarten, endlich loszulegen? Dann passt der Seat Ibiza Style perfekt zu dir. Jetzt schon für 87 Euro monatlich, ohne Anzahlung. Alle Infos unter seat.de.